Would you pray with me once again? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we praise thy great and holy name. We offer up our thanksgiving unto thee, Heavenly Father, for blessings of the past. Father, as we mark the ending of the calendar year, we can look back and see so many times, Father, that you've blessed us far above what we deserve and what we expected. You have brought us through all the trials and tribulations. Father, we've blessed abundantly, and we pray as we look forward to the coming year that you would bless in like manner, and Father, in even greater ways. We know that you're able to provide every need according to thy riches and glory. And Father, we just ask that your will would be done in our lives in the coming year. And Father, again, we pray for those who are sick and afflicted, those who are bereaved and cast down. Ask that you would touch with thy healing and merciful hand the lives of all thy children. We pray, Father, again for the church where she is gathered today, and pray that the gospel would be preached in power and that your name would be glorified and your people edified. Especially here, Father, bless us that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. I pray that you would bless me to preach the word and bless each one of us to understand your message. Bless us, Father, that we might walk closer to thee in days to come. And Father, I pray that you would forgive our sins and our shortcomings. For we ask in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We call your attention this morning to the book of Psalms. In the fifth chapter, we'll read the first seven verses as a beginning text. We'll look at several passages in the book of Psalms this morning and a couple of others, but we'll stay mainly in the book of Psalms. As you are well aware, this is the last day of the year 2017, and we begin a new year at midnight, I guess, according to the calendar. I guess it would have been appropriate if I had wished you a blessed coming new year, but I want to assure you that I pray for you every day, so that pretty much covers the coming year. But I do pray the Lord's rich blessings upon you. It is a time that many people make what we call New Year's resolutions. We're going to do better in the coming year, and we resolve certain things. Now, it is my opinion that if you've got to wait till the new year, you're not very devoted to that resolution anyway. It's kind of like, we make resolutions to do certain things, but if we're going to wait till the new year, that means I'm going to enjoy this and indulge myself in this as long as I can, and then I'll start trying to do better. So I think that's why so many resolutions do not work. You have any idea what the number one New Year's resolution is? I'm going to lose weight. And then, the others kind of go along with it. They've taken surveys, and, the most popular answer is diet's number one, or lose weight, then exercise, eat better. The most popular resolutions have to do with the physical body. You don't hear many people resolve to improve the mind in the coming year. Some do, but they resolve to read more and things of that nature. But I promise you that you can look at all those surveys and ask people their resolutions. You're not going to find anybody that says, I resolve to have a closer relationship with God in the coming year. That's in our day, that's just somewhere. I'm sure there are a lot of believers who make that resolution, but it's not one that makes the list the most popular. Resolutions are appropriate. Not necessarily New Year's resolutions. But you look through the Bible, and especially in the book of Psalms, you'll find people making resolutions. And that we're going to look this morning at just a few of many that King David made. Now, I don't believe that these were New Year's resolutions, but David, in times of great need, in times of desire for God, in different experiences in his life, he made some resolutions. And I'm going to encourage you to follow David's example. Let's make these same resolutions that David made. So we begin in Psalm chapter 5 in the first verse, or the first seven verses. And this is a psalm, but it is a prayer of David. David said, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. For thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall the evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." And David made a number of resolutions in this passage of Scripture. David said, "This is what I'm going to do." And he is making these resolutions before God. They amount to a vow. And it is a serious matter when we vow to God. In fact, Scripture says it's better not to vow than to make a vow and not repay that vow. But the first thing David says before God is, "My voice thou shalt hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." And David didn't say every morning, but in the morning, but I believe that was his meaning. "Every morning, Lord, you're going to hear my voice. I'm going to be crying to you, Lord. I'm going to look up and I'm going to pray unto you, because there's where my help comes from. There's where all my blessings come. That's what I'm dependent upon, your mercy and your grace." And then he talks about God hating the workers of iniquity, God destroying those who speak against it. But in the seventh verse, then, are more vows that David made. "But as for me," and David is contrasting himself with those workers of iniquity, "I'm not going to be as one of them. But as for me," and I think when David, I don't want to read more in Scripture than is there, but David, when he says, "As for me," I understand he's saying it doesn't matter what anybody else does. This is what I am going to do. This is my resolution. "I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear I will worship toward thy holy temple." So David is resolved that he's coming into the house of God. He said, in the multitude of God's mercy. It is only by God's tender mercy that we have both the desire and the ability to assemble ourselves to worship and to praise Him. And David is making the resolution that he's going to take advantage of that mercy that God has extended to him. And he says, "In thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." David says, in awe and reverence, recognizing the holiness of God. It disturbs me greatly to hear people speak lightly of God. You know, they talk about the man upstairs and things of that nature. Talk about God as if he's an old buddy, like he's granddaddy or something like that. We serve a holy God who is worthy of all praise and reverence, a God who is able to destroy, except he extends mercy to his children. In that fear and that reverence, I'm going to worship toward thy holy temple. Did it catch your attention that, as I said, this is David's writing, and David is talking about coming and worshiping toward God's holy temple? What we know is the temple had not even been built. But I think David considered where God's presence was. You know, David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and he pitched the tent. In David's mind, that was a temple. Just as beautiful as that one that Solomon would make, because that's where God's presence was. And there's where David was looking, not at elaborate buildings or all the ornamentation that Solomon would put in that temple, but God's presence. And that's what makes any house, the house of God, and a beautiful place. You can have very plain and simple walls, but if God is there, it's a place of great beauty. And David has made the determination that he's going to come and present himself there. Now, if you turn, in my Bible it's one page, and it's probably in yours the same, to Psalm 7 and verse 17. And this again is David's writings, and here's a resolution that he makes. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. There again he recognizes the glory and the holiness of God. He recognizes the righteousness of God, and he says, I'm going to praise the Lord. You know, we often consider our singing of hymns as praise to God, and it is when it's done in the right manner. When we praise God, we talk about how good He is, how glorious He is. I've seen on television, other places, people who consider themselves to be praising God, and they sing this song over and over. I just want to praise the Lord. I just want to praise the Lord. And that's all they say, is I want to praise the Lord. And I hear such as that, and I think, well, go ahead and praise Him then. Talk about how good He is, and how loving He is, and how merciful He is. You know, I think we fall short of that. We want to sing what we call hymns of praise. When we're out with our family, our friends, and neighbors, we're reluctant to praise God. David made that resolution, I'm going to praise. Let's make the resolution together that we will praise the Lord. David, in this particular instance, has prayed for deliverance from his enemies. And he has expressed his trust in God. If you look at Psalm 7 and verse 1, David said, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. So David is praying for deliverance from the circumstances that he's in, and then he says, I will praise God. But I want you to understand that David is not making a bargain with God. He's not saying, if you'll deliver me, then I will praise thee. But he's simply saying, I will praise thee. I want you to deliver me. But I've made a resolution that I'm going to praise you regardless of the circumstance. In this psalm as well, and look at the fourth and fifth verses, David said, if I've rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I've delivered him that without a cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. David says, if I'm guilty, punish me for it. If I've mistreated anyone, even an enemy, you let the enemy come. And I'll take your righteous judgment. And David says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. Even if it means God's chastisement, David says, I'm going to praise you. Psalm 9, verses 13 and 14. David said, have mercy on me, O Lord, consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice and by salvation. So here's another resolution. David says, I'm going to rejoice in your salvation, in your deliverance. And when David is talking about salvation here, he's talking about God's deliverance from the timely circumstance that he's in. I'm going to praise God. You know, here's one I think that we all need to consider. That God delivers us from circumstances daily. And we talk about how lucky we were. And we get sick, and we talk about that good doctor that we have. We talk about the good medicine that he gave us. And we're not rejoicing in God's salvation. There's where the delivery came from. There's an old story, and you might find it rather silly, but I think it illustrates the point. There's a story of a man who went out hunting, and he came across a big bear, an angry bear that was coming toward him. He raised his gun to shoot, and his gun misfires. So all he can do is climb up a tree, and he's out on a limb. The bear is down there, and he suddenly realizes that bears can climb trees as well. So he's in a fix, and he begins to pray. Lord, if you'll just save me from this bear, I'll change my life. I'll start serving you. I'll start going to church. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And suddenly the limb that he's on breaks, falls on top of the bear, and kills it dead. And he says, never mind, Lord, I don't need you now. You know, this is the Lord's salvation, but he thought it was just blind luck. And he didn't have to keep all those vows that he had made. God's salvation, timely deliverance, comes in ways that we can't imagine. When you go out in the morning and you've got a flat tire, that may be God's way of delivering you from a wreck that is out there in the way that you're going. It may look like an annoyance. It may look like a bad thing has happened to our life, and it may very well be God's salvation. Rejoice in it and praise God for His tender mercy to us. Make the resolution that you're going to praise God and give Him thanks in all things. Not necessarily for all things, but in all our circumstances, rejoice in God. Psalm 18 and the first three verses. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. This is identified as the Psalm of David when he had been delivered from all his enemies, been delivered from the hand of Saul, who sought to kill him. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer and my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So, a couple of resolutions in this passage of Scripture. First of all, that one that I'm going to love thee, O Lord. I was always impressed by the prayers of Brother James Brackett, or Tommy, as Shirley knows him. So many times he'd begin his prayer by saying, I love you, Lord. So many of us fail to say, I love you, Lord. David said, I will love you, Lord. I believe David had a great love for the Lord, but he's making the resolution he's going to continue to love the Lord. And I believe that implies that he's going to try to demonstrate his love in a greater way in days to come. Now, I want you to remember the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as John records in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and beginning at verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you're determined to love God, it requires obedience upon our part. Bible love is not some emotion that we feel. I've said many times, it's not just a warm and fuzzy feel. Bible love always motivates. Bible love is always demonstrated. I can say I love you anytime, any place. It means nothing until I show that by my actions. And that's what Jesus is telling us. If you love me, keep my commandments. And notice, Jesus attaches a promise to keeping his commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Jesus said, I'll give you a Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And He's going to be with you always. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, did you catch that? That Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter, but I'm going to come to you. So Jesus comes in the form of the Holy Spirit as that Comforter. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So Jesus says, when you love me, keep my commandments. And if you've got my commandments and you keep them, you're going to experience my love. You're going to experience the love of the Father. We'll come in and make our abode. We'll have that close personal relationship that every one of us ought to be seeking after. David said, I will love thee, O Lord. And then finally, in that third Psalm 18, verse 3, he said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, when David says, I will call upon the Lord, we generally associate calling on the Lord as praying to the Lord. And I believe that's the case here. When David says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, that indicates to me that he's calling on the Lord in praise, in thanksgiving. I'm going to lift up my voice. I'm going to call on the Lord. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to thank Him. And then I'm going to make my petitions known. And knowing that He's a merciful and the loving God, and He's going to answer those prayers. And David said, in this way, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, let me pose the question. Do you have any enemies that you need delivery from? Well, you may say, well, I love everybody. I've got a good relationship with everybody. I don't have any enemies. I beg to differ. You have a great enemy known as Satan. And he comes against you whether you realize it or not, whether you put a name to it or not. He comes daily trying to separate you from the love and the experience of God. You have another great enemy that is a confederate of Satan, that is an associate of Satan, and that is self. That old Adam nature. That's what Satan appeals to, and our Adam self will separate us from God. When we love and indulge this self, it's going to pull us away from God. And that's an enemy. And I, just to make a personal confession, self is a greater enemy to me than Satan. I contend with self every day. And the only way that I'll have delivery from that enemy is I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and trust Him to answer my prayers. Now, I could give you probably 100 different resolutions that David made in the Psalms and a lot of the other Psalms as well. These are just a few, and I guess probably because of my personal need, these are resolutions that I need to make. I encourage you to examine your life. Now, if you want to resolve to lose weight, that's fine. And I'll If you're going to make that determination, I'll try to help you and I'll try to join you. If you want to exercise more in the coming year, you do that. It'd be good and it'd be healthy. But you know, real physical health has its foundation in spiritual health. Spiritual health. I don't care how physically healthy you get. If you're not spiritually healthy, it's not going to last very long. Let's make a resolution that we're going to seek to walk closer to our Lord in the coming year. And remember, that's a vow before God. It's a very important thing that we keep our vow. But I do pray that the Lord would bless you abundantly in the coming years. I'm thankful for the past year, for your love that you've shown us, and pray that we've some way been a blessing to you. Well, let's pray together that we'll be a blessing to each other and that we'll be able to glorify God with our life in the coming year. And that's my prayer for Christ's sake.